in partnership with AnnaValleyShow.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, brought to you live in Studio Morris for Saturday, January 19th. Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. My mom and Dad's anniversary is tomorrow. A little side note there. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always, in this off-season, you can download various shows from iTunes to your iPod device or any other device that you had that can download that kind of garbage.
Androids.
Yeah, I don't want to leave Joe out.
Right.
You know, the oddball of the group. So, you
I'm
can. What else can you do? Well, you can like us on Facebook. We twat. We tweet.
We do twat now.
Joe, I'm sorry. Podcast tweets at Valley Shook.
Carrie tweets at
Go Show Carrie, but very rarely do I tweet.
Patrick tweets at Cod Godfather.
Yeah, yes you do. Billy tweets too. We're gonna introduce Billy in a little bit. People know Billy though.
But he's live today.
He is. Yeah. Roundtable discussion today discussing the end of the LSU football season. Last year, it took us 8 months to have an end of the season discussion. This year, it took us 3 weeks. So we're getting better, you know.
It took us that long to get over that.
Hopefully next year, we'll have a postseason wrap-up show like the day after the season, you know, at this rate.
Especially if we lose.
That could be scary.
Yeah. So, you know what I miss? I miss our impromptu post-game shows like Alabama 2009.
Sitting on the tailgate.
Outside of the Ellis Street House.
Oh, yeah.
With me and you, recorded on podcast phone. So I miss those days. The round table, ladies and gentlemen, to my far left, Cody Dillon.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Patrick Morris.
Yeah, what's up?
Kerry Muntz, I'm your host. Billy Gamilla from AnnaValleyShow.com is filling in for JJ and Chase today.
Sorry about the non-cursing thing today.
Good luck, Billy, because you are replacing icons in the podcasting world.
So I'm not allowed to curse?
And or giggle loud.
And start and end sentences.
You can curse all you want. It's just going to make podcast work harder to edit this son of a bitch. It'll be out.
Curses a lot if he's taking JJ's spot. If he giggles a lot if he's taking Jace's spot.
Yeah, so you can curse and giggle. If you can pull on both giggle? Simultaneously.
Wow.
We'll call it kiggle if you can giggle. Just kiggle all
Kiggling.
Last time you heard us, Patrick and I were having a spirited discussion with some goofball from Clemson.
Yes, we were.
Pocky, I don't know where you found that guy. That guy was strange. And I hope he doesn't listen to this show. Because he was a little out there. I'm not going to lie.
He was out there.
He gave Clemson no hope.
He wouldn't even pick his own team.
He was like, y'all are going to kill us. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't know what his team's motivation is. But I like the way we're playing in Georgia Dome. You know, and all that stuff, and I was kind of on that, but in the back of my mind, I had a bad feeling about the game, and guess what happened?
And guess what? I told you we weren't going to have that game.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yes, I did.
I think you just were a little bit bitter because you had to work all day that day.
Well, that too, but I still predicted we weren't going to win that game.
So, I don't know.
That's why I was not surprised. That's a nice interception. Just.
Yeah, that's a terrible quarterback.
And it's actually fitting that while we're bringing the show to you today, we are actually watching college football, sort of. The blue-gray, what do you call it, the blue-gray game? What's this? Stars and Stripes now. I don't know. So where exactly do we go from here?
Let's talk about the game. Our thoughts.
Do we have to?
No. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
I'm kind of...
You know what we should talk about?
What should we talk about, Patrick?
What was the hot subject coming out of the game? How many LSU players were going to leave?
Yeah, that, I guess that's the biggest thing. But, I mean, I guess just to put a quick little wrap up on the game, I mean, what do y'all think? I mean, you think it was a lack of motivation? You just think this team is...
Total lack of motivation. Were you motivated to watch it?
Not really. I was more motivated to drink that night.
Which most every LSU fan was that night.
I'm motivated to
drink. It was a letdown to go to that game. No offense. It was a letdown to go to that game for us as an LSU fan. I mean, we've been there. Yeah, okay. If we'd have been up for the game, I guarantee you we'd have won, but we weren't up for that game. Most of the guys were looking to just up their pro stock. You know, they were just trying to hit hard, make individual plays. It wasn't a team game. It was an individual game. So Danny just made a shot. That was a great shot, Danny.
It was pretty awesome.
So that's what I think that game amounted to. It was just, okay, let me look at the pro scouts, look at me individually. That's all that was.
Well, I think it was a combination of that and the fact that Clemson was supposed to get destroyed by us. So people, tell me that the players don't read into the media a little bit and say, oh, we're supposed to kill these guys. You know, so it's going to be an easy game. So they probably overlooked them a little bit.
It happens in every game.
A lack of preparation, possibly.
That's why games aren't played on paper.
And they
played
inside the relationships. We talk about Clemson a lot as underachieving. Part of the reason why they get talked about as underachieving is because they do have talented players. You know, Nuke Hopkins is probably going to be a top two round pick. Taj Boyd, had he chose to come out, very well could be the first overall pick in this draft. So it's not like they were a decent team that was good enough to beat LSU if they didn't bring their best game, and LSU didn't bring their best game.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, the offensive line didn't show up. I don't even know. I think they stayed on the bus and just had other people, you know, dress out.
And that just kills me. The offensive line doesn't show up when your offensive coordinator is the offensive line coach.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this for years, and I'll harp on it, and people who have listened to us know that the one thing that we say is that we live and die in the trenches. I mean, that's it. You have a solid – you look at any game, you look at that – I don't want to bring it up, but you look at the Alabama game. Look at what Alabama's offensive line did with Notre Dame's defensive line. I mean, that right there changed the whole complexion of the game.
Well, I don't
– our offensive line couldn't stand in the way of anybody.
Our inability to protect Mettenberg in that game was atrocious.
It
the
was.
Fact that we – after Jeremy Hill busted a long touchdown run,
we got away
from quarter. I don't think he touched the. He didn't touch the ball the entire fourth quarter.
No, we got 1 yard in the fourth quarter. 1 total yard,
which was absolutely mind boggling. But you know,
which relates back to the national championship game the previous year. Same damn scenario. Unwilling to change anything. Unwilling to go with what's working. Anything like that.
Yeah, Jeremy Hill had 12 rushes the whole game.
I'm putting an app.
Still
I'm putting
over 100.
Yeah,
an ad out in the paper right now. If you need an offensive coordinator, we will give you ours. Right now. Bottom line.
I never liked the idea of an offensive coordinator doing more than coordinating. Him being an offensive line coach as well, I think they need to have a separate coach for that.
We have to take into account what happened in the beginning of the year, how our offensive coordinator that was supposed to be our offensive coordinator. Yeah,
but it was two years ago.
It was two years ago. I'm sorry.
Well, and even so, the only
it didn't
thing
work out last year either. You think they would have changed something?
No. Well, it worked out for the first 12 games. It didn't work out in that 13.
Well,
game.
Only because
if you
we
go
just
by if
overpowered
you go by statistics,
everybody.
When was the last time we had an offense that was ranked in the top half?
2007
of college football.
That's
2007.
Right.
2007.
And
yardage, yeah.
You're a
no,
bottom.
Yeah, let's go get Gary Kruger.
No. I'm talking total.
Yeah, but you're a top five team perennially. And you can't rank in the top 50% of offenses in the nation?
Yes.
Perennially?
Whatever.
I mean, we had a great run last year. We had a great running offense. We were ranked 15th in a run. We were ranked 102nd
dude,
in the pass.
Dude,
he's
the numbers. He warned me of this.
Dude, I told you I was going to do this.
I'm sorry. You can't rank in the top 50% of teams in the entire nation and you're a top five team? That's
well, not only top five, top 10 in recruiting every year. People harp on the fact that Les Miles brings in the players.
Then, obviously, it's not the players. It's the damn
coaching. It's the system.
It is coaching.
And the coaching.
He leaves the defense alone. Now, granted, Chavis kind of lays back sometimes. That's when a head coach needs to step in and said, we don't need to do this right now. But at that point, you know, he lets Chavis run his defense, and guess what happens every year? We're fine.
Did our team have an identity on offense this year?
We never do. He's harped on
the
that
last
for
three or
years.
Four years. We have.
We started out as running.
On that
for then we
years.
Did
last year.
We did it the first half of last year.
What
well, last
year
identity was year.
Run,
pound them, pound them, pound them until they just
bear them down. Yeah,
yeah.
We couldn't do that against this year. We changed halfway when they figured out Mettenberg could throw the ball a little bit. And once we got to there, then we changed. We changed our whole identity midstream. Midstream, we changed.
And how that
I think it
out.
Was that. I think it was some of the attrition on the offensive line. You know, you couldn't quite pound the same way. Well, you had all those injuries, and you also had defenses loading up on the run. You know, and it's hard to maintain that 2 years in a row. But you have to have some sort of identity. You have to have that.
Agreed.
We're going to do it. You know, everybody will stand there and tell you, oh, you can't just run into a nine man box. Yeah, you can. Every single one of Jeremy Hill's long runs this year where he ran into...
You're right.
Yeah, because if you break the box,
it's not running into this big pile of nine guys. There's gaps. There's holes. Guys get blocked. Guys get caught up behind the guys who are getting blocked.
If you break one level of defense, you're gone.
Exactly.
There's nobody back there. You beat a safety. And the
Clemson game, when it comes down to you, if Jeremy Hill runs the ball three times in the fourth quarter, you probably win that game.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the thing that got me this year... was I felt like the game plans most of the time were solid. I felt like, okay, this is what we're trying to do, and this will work. And then something would go wrong. And then it was...
We tended to get away from what was working a lot of games.
Yeah, a lot of that. And like in the Clemson game, they came out with the idea being, okay, Clemson's going to stack the box and play man-to-man coverage. We're going to come out, play action pass, and go deep. They start doing that. Mettenberger is getting drilled on every on like, and sometimes it was hits his back step, boom, knocked over. And then it was like, okay, what are we doing? And they kept working to try and fix that. You know, some of it was good. The call to use the screen passes with Spencer Ware, that worked really well. But meanwhile, Jeremy Hill is just breaking run after run after run, mm-hmm. and we're so focused on trying to fix the offensive line issues that we're not noticing. Okay, well, just give it to Hill, and that no matter how many people they stick in the box, they're not going to stop it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, pass protection wise, it was atrocious, but run blocking wise, it was fine. It was breakdowns of pass protection. They could not block the defensive end.
What do offensive linemen want to do? You are an offensive lineman. They want to run.
They want to run.
They can just
because it's easier
the ball
to just
hit somebody, right?
Yeah, a lot. Because you kind of back up in a stance, and you got a guy that's faster than you. There's really not much you can do. I mean, you got to rely on your technique and stuff like that. And if you
can wear him out too. So he's not
run blocking is more or less you're attacking as opposed to being attacked and letting the guy come upfield.
Anytime an offensive lineman's confidence is shaken, the best thing to do is run the football because all they have to do is stand up there and push. You know, just push against
mano a mano.
Right, it's me against you. I'm just going to be stronger and bigger than you.
You move the line of scrimmage, you win.
Yeah.
Right. You move the line of scrimmage forward, you win.
You know,
you're better than me.
Then if you start having success, then you can start pass blocking again because the offensive linemen have a little more confidence.
You know, eventually defensive linemen get tired of getting hit and push forward after running the ball.
Right.
So
they're not as big usually. They get
especially
tired towards the end of the game. We did it all last year. We ran the ball. Pushed against them, against them, dominated them, and then passed it in the second half.
All right, we're talking about offensive line here. All right, and y'all are the stat guys. Who's coming back?
On the offensive line?
Yes.
You have Collins, Turner, and Alexander. Williford will be back probably in the, I guess.
Did he decide to come back? Cause remember,
as far as I know.
So bottom line.
No, that was Hurst.
Yeah, Hurst. Yeah,
so bottom line, we should have some experience.
Right.
Because
we had some injuries this year.
Losing Chris Falk hurts a lot, and they're going to have to reshuffle some things. But they have four guys with starting experience.
Right.
Plus, Elliot Porter played a little bit. Yes. So if he's your center, he's
what
not.
What I'm looking at is the line next
green.
Year. Line's always your key to winning.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
The line
can
still be very good.
Line's the key to winning. That's why I'm saying who's
two really
back?
Good guards. Trey Turner
had
a really good year.
You've got a lot of experience coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And even young or whatever, they're coming back. So you should be able to do something. Now, can we coach them up and then go from there is the problem.
So you got – Williford was a guard, correct?
Williford's a guard, yeah. So Williford will probably be kind of next year's version of – Josh Taurasik / T-Bob Hebert / just the train him at a bunch of different spots and someone gets hurt, put him there.
Right, so you got Alexander, Leo Collins.
Trey Turner.
So Leo Collins and Trey Turner are probably two starting guards.
Yeah.
Porter's your center. Vidal, right tackle, or left, you can move him to left.
That's what's going to be interesting without Falk is do they move Alexander over? Do they slide Leo Collins out there? Because that's what everybody
that's
wanted.
What that was his position, right? He was a left tackle.
In high school, he was a really good guard, though. I think they might keep him at
so you're see a lot of
he's a little short
running,
for a left tackle.
What you're going to see, a lot of up the middle behind that guard this year, behind guard and center.
A lot of that, a lot
you
of pulling
should.
Those
I'm
two, pulling
those
two guards.
Well, we might not have our
bruisers anymore. Your best players still. Your best skill player.
We might not have our bruising running backs anymore.
Well, we still got Jeremy Hill.
We got Roos and Rob. We got Kenny Hilliard.
Yeah.
That's right.
Jeremy Hill's a big dude.
I mean, we had five people at running back, so now we're
going to see that. The two that weren't playing are the ones that are leaving.
You know what? You think about running back and Billy.
That's what I want to talk about.
You got Ford coming back. I mean, you got Blue coming back, too.
I think that there's a good chance of that. Probably so.
Being that you lost Ford and Ware.
That plus one of the recruits that's coming in is kind of that, ideally, what Russell Shepard could have been
was
that slash player who you can play on offense.
Percy Harvin. And,
yeah. You can give him a couple carries, throw
Darren
him a couple times. Yeah. same idea. You know, and maybe if he hits the ground running a little bit better than Russell Shepard did and doesn't kind of get in that coaching doghouse, maybe he can fill in there.
Right.
Mm. Well, you forget Alfred Blue.
Yeah, and
he'll be back
Alfred
too.
And
he was one of our best backs. He was
the best back
hurt,
on the team through the first three games.
Yeah, he was
until he got hurt.
So we know we're
the fastest
what we
back.
Do
we
need
have.
Though. We need that big time go get him receiver.
Somebody can catch the ball.
We need that
Jarvis Landry.
We need that 6'4" receiver that can go up and catch a pass.
You got a bunch of number two receivers. You don't have a
you don't have a guy.
We need a number one. We need a freshman.
I see Jarvis Landry's a number one guy.
He doesn't have the big play capability.
We need that guy that can go deep, like a Devery was in college, like a
Reuben Randall. Basically.
Yeah, you got a big play guy in Odell Beckham, but he can't catch the ball.
If that number one guy can decoy him, the two step up.
Maybe he needs LASIK.
Yeah.
So I think Kadrion Boone could be that deep threat.
Kadrion Boone and Eric Martin type.
Yeah, he's another inconsistent guy. I mean, he's
Avery Peterson. He changed his last name.
He waited to get enrolled in school to do that. Is he?
Yeah.
Him and Hayden Reddick.
I think he's 18.
But him and Hayden Reddick are both. I think both got enrolled. It was late. It was later than Monday, but people were kind of nervous. But
they had
both
until this coming Thursday.
Yeah, they're both.
You would think that Miles is showing that we actually threw the ball a little bit last year. We might could maybe sway a receiver somewhere out in recruiting.
Well, and here's people have pointed out that this fact and we'll come to see about this because there's no Dwayne Bowen, there's no Buster Davis on this team, but Mettenberger's first year as the starter looked a lot like Jamarcus Russell's first year as a starter, and the stats were very, very close. Jamarcus Russell that
he didn't have the big bowl game though.
Well, I mean, I think he ended up with, if I'm not mistaken, 12 touchdowns for the year, Mettenberger, and he had
like 2,600. His yardage total because he had that big November. I mean, he set a record, I think, for three consecutive games for yardage, or four consecutive games
for an offense that was ranked so low. That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like, you know, there's something to build on, but I really wasn't. You know, it's like
honestly, come out with 200 yards a game and we run the ball for two. Hell, that's our identity right there to me.
Yeah.
Les Miles' identity. You throw for 200, that's great for us. He goes for 250. Hell, that's like a pro quarterback throwing for 350.
Well, that's what Alabama's been doing. I mean, Alabama averaged fewer passing yards a game than LSU this year.
Good defense. Run for 200, throw for 200.
Ran the ball much more, largely because they had big leads in the second half.
One of our biggest issues this year? Converting in the red zone.
Converting in the red zone.
Remember we said we weren't inside the 20? We kept saying it.
Our net punting when it wasn't in 2011. There's a number of things. It was just...
Well, I mean, is the game evolving into something that does 3 yards in a cloud of dust get it anymore?
No, I don't think so. Alabama's doing it.
No, the red zone. If there's one stat that you look at,
but they're more
the
consistent.
Between these two teams, between 11 and 12,
converting in the red zone.
It was
AJ had a lot better stats, and he also had a freshman wide receiver that had over 11 yards.
Hell, Mettenberger didn't learn how to throw a fade pass.
So it's more efficient in the passing game.
That's 3 yards.
You know what Alabama does that LSU doesn't do?
Well, I don't want to get into that. But
well, the biggest thing that I notice, we rotate too many backs in and out.
Exactly.
They need to have the 1-2 punch and stop having these.
That's what I'm calling
guys.
Kind of looking forward to this year.
Well, and Ford leaving, you're looking at probably – four blue guys,
Blue and Hill.
Blue and Hill.
I wonder if you'd have seen that. Maybe had
Hilliard
not gotten hurt, and Hilliard had an injury too. That's why he kind of disappeared.
So
down the stretch,
because you got is Copeland's back, right?
Yeah, Copeland.
That's awesome. Yeah, what's Copeland's he, junior back. Or senior?
See, there's four guys.
So I wouldn't want to be coming through.
Copeland carrying a ball.
No.
He catches every now and then. And he'll get a short yardage carry every now and then.
Yeah. See, I'm more in favor. I like the idea of. Not moving Kenny Hill to fullback, but throwing in some packages where Kenny Hill is a fullback and Blue or Hill is a running back.
Splits out or something
like that. Yeah.
Takes that really linebacker.
Old school pro sets with split backs. Yeah. Split back sets with using a number of those guys. Not those, you know, ace formations are all fine and good for certain plays, but I miss some of those plays where they set up. I mean, some of those.
Toss sweeps would work.
The inside toss trap. I love the inside toss trap. A lot of people don't like it, but
Power O.
It produced, man. I missed the crossbuck play with Kenny Hilliard from 2011.
Oh, they ran that on the first game of the year, and then we didn't see it again.
Yeah,
I
love the crossbuck.
They ran it with Copeland, and Copeland picked up
one of the things that
the hole was massive.
Yeah,
one of the things that our receivers do well is block downfield, and if you could run a lot more screen passes with Blue, guys who are real elusive, you know what I mean. That's something I'd like to see.
At times, you saw them do that shotgun look with the two running backs with Jeremy Hill and Spencer Ware.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't do a lot of that, and I think they could do more of that. partially because at the end of the day, the best guys on this team with the balls in their hands are still running backs. They're not wide receivers.
Right.
Maybe that change. You know, there's the you get Avery Peterson in. He's a bigger guy. Maybe he helps you. You got the tight end from Barb coming in, who's not really a tight end. He's really basically just a really big receiver.
Well, we don't even use tight ends.
One of these days we're going to learn how to pass.
I was just telling him that though. But what tight end have we had in my lifetime? What tight end have you been like? We got to get that guy the ball.
No. Last one you had that he even threw the ball to
Dixon
Royal,
was that guy.
Dixon would have been if we'd had a quarterback.
Dixon was okay, but Dixon, the second teams were like, oh, maybe we should game plan for him.
Yeah, but like I said, the last one you actually threw the ball to was Royal.
Yeah.
Probably that's Dixon.
He's going back.
Wow.
That's 11 years with Royal.
But this Deshaun Smith, he's a kid who most people think he's that player who
that new age tight end,
but he probably will not play much tight end.
He will be in the slot. He will be split
that
out.
That Washington type of tight end, like we played against, and I mean that's a big target. You need 5 yards. Let him go turn around, post up, and throw him the ball.
Yeah, I think you'll see them. And it was funny. A couple times they did that with Travis Dixon, where they would split him out wide, but they'd split him out wide basically to just take a linebacker out the box and do something else. Really, not really to throw him the ball.
Now,
but
speaking of tight ends, we lost Nick Jacobs, right? He's not
coming back. Chris Davenport is transferring to Tulane because he's graduated and he can get that loophole where he can go there and play right away.
Right.
And Luke Muncy, I don't think they said where he's going yet, but he's leaving too. But it's all guys who Nick Jacobs might not have had the option of coming back.
Well, I think our recruiting is going to be interesting because of all the people that are leaving. Now it opens up that gambit for new people coming. I can step in and play now at a major college program, be on TV.
That's what they're selling. They're selling it to that.
And that's the only way to sell it.
Prospect kid that's going to
Ole Miss. You can come in and play and be on TV every week.
Come play defensive line at LSU, and you might be able to come in and start right away.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, you'll be in the pros. Yeah.
And those were the losses that really, really worry me is defensive line. You know, Eric Reed, God love him. He's a great kid. Yeah. He's a great student. But he had a great year.
Regressed.
Consensus All-American
And he's still going to get drafted high.
Yeah, let's switch gears to defense now. Because defensive line, it's one of those areas where you always worry, but at the same time you're not worried because we always seem to rotate guys in and pull guys and put guys in. Like, nobody knew who Montgomery and Mingo were before they started playing. I mean, you know, but who are the next two ends? Because I don't remember any other defensive ends playing other than those two, and plus LeVar Edwards, who's going out too, so...
Jamari Rasko.
That's right, Rasko.
This guy we about to bring in. What's his name?
Yeah, but Beckwith, our Beckwith. Strength coach has got him benching probably 100 pounds more than what they started with last year.
Is he related to Dowry?
Who? Kevin Beckwith? Yes, he's, I think, cousins.
Cousin?
He's going to be interested. I don't know if they're going to put him at linebacker or end or what they're going to do with him.
I'd say put him at end, man. Player. He played end in that high school
and
game.
They may line him up with a three-man front and roll him to the outside.
He had four sacks and an interception or something in that high school game.
Oh, there you go.
And Danielle Hunter is the other one who's going to probably start. He played a good little bit as a freshman. He played a lot on special teams.
In your rotation, you know, your two star defensive tackles are probably what, Ego and Anthony
Ego
Johnson.
Ego Freak,
Anthony Johnson,
who
for
did
sure.
That guy from South Carolina, whatever, eventually wind up saying he was committing to? The big guy, the number one recruit?
Hmm? Kamnichi?
Yeah, is that us?
No, it's between us and Ole Miss.
That's what I'm saying. He's still.
I think it's really just Ole Miss.
Oh, really?
His brother plays for Ole Miss.
Okay.
We weren't really a player for Kamnichi, as far as I'm aware. We weren't really a player for him until like 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, out of nowhere. The guy who does recruiting writing for the Times Pick said all of a sudden that we were like in his top five, and I was like,
"Well, then it narrowed it down to two."
I think we were there most of the time, but most people
it didn't
were considering
seem like
he was committed to Clemson for a while, and it was one of those things where people just figured he's going to Ole Miss because his brother plays there.
Yeah,
so.
It never really seemed at any point like we were really seriously in contention for him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, hell, when he announced he was actually going to take a visit, which is he still going to do that?
I think the last weekend before.
I mean, hell, if Houston Nutt was still coaching at Ole Miss, I'd get suspicious.
Yeah.
What happened with the? I mean, it's just it's odd because I don't think he's serious about it, and I don't think we really have a shot. So
okay,
you never say no to a kid who wants to come by and take a visit because there's always that chance.
It's being said, but nobody's saying anything, and that's a guy that could come in and say a number one recruit. You come in a defensive line at LSU, and look where the defensive linemen are doing this year. You're talking top 10 picks in a draft. You can come in to LSU. We train you up. You'll be a top 10 pick. Yeah. You know, so that's got to be weighing on his mind.
Not everybody's going to go for that. I mean, didn't we lose the top defensive line guy from Louisiana to Alabama this past week?
Tim Williams thing. We were talking about it off air a while ago.
That's right.
Interesting thing.
I mean,
but they pulled in. They've got a couple of good line prospects.
We always reload on defense. Like, we wish we reload on offense.
And one of his last name is Bane, so that'll be great. We can make jokes all year.
You think darkness is your ally?
Yeah,
that's right.
You got Bane. You've got Heron, the kid from Tennessee. That's a kid who could grow into like a Michael Brockers type. Could be a bigger end, or maybe if he puts on enough weight, play inside.
But you know what we got to do inside on the line, though, that I do think we lacked this year was a run stopper, so to speak. That big guy right in the middle that could just take up those couple of offensive
really
linemen.
Really miss Michael Brockers. Yeah, and that's no surprise. You lose it.
Because that allows your outside your outside guys to go and do. But instead, they had to play some run support this
Anthony
year.
Johnson.
He was very uneven this year.
Yeah,
he'd have a good game and then he wouldn't show up, and then he'd have a great game and then he wouldn't show up. And
he's not,
I think,
so
that's why he didn't start.
He's a defensive lineman. He's more prone. He's got more
tackles in the backfield. You know,
he's had a lot of them.
That's what I'm saying. That's better than stopping a guy at the line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you got to have that big body to take up some space.
Oh, definitely.
Big thing is that your number 3 and 4 tackles are two guys who didn't play at all this year, basically. So
Mickey Johnson and
Quentin Thomas.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, and supposedly they've said good things about him in the past, but you just don't know. They just haven't played yet.
Yeah,
so Mickey Johnson.
He's from Covington, actually. He reminds me the way he's built. Reminds me a lot of Kyle Williams, like really short and stocky. He's like 6'3".
And wasn't he like the state weightlifting champ or something like that?
What I want is a guy with a motor. You know how they always say it.
Glenn Dorsey.
We need David Pollock. Yeah, his motor never stops. Yeah, David Bullock. Todd Blackledge loved him when he worked at CBS with Vern.
But the good news there is you get both your cornerbacks back. You've got the safety.
Jalen's back.
Even though you lose Reed, you get Lawston back, who might have been better than Reed this year.
I tell you what.
And you get Ross Lawston, too.
He came
that's
on
a guy. Way. That's a guy who's got – I see Craig Lawston, and I immediately think of Brandon Taylor. I remember Brandon Taylor's sophomore, junior year, he was – I don't want to say atrocious – but he wasn't good. He was out of position a lot. I thought Brandon Taylor was a liability. Then his senior year, I thought Brandon Taylor was like – he was. You can tell how much we miss Brandon Taylor this year. Bosa said that preseason. Bosa said that preseason he was concerned with the loss of Brandon Taylor back there at safety.
And he kept everybody on the same page.
He was right. Craig Lawson to kind of follow in that same mold in the senior season. That's kind of what I'm looking at. He made the play against Mississippi State, and he returns the big interception and all that stuff, which the game was kind of – I mean, you're looking at 30-17, and they possibly scoring a touchdown to get to one score, and he puts the game away.
At linebacker, you lose Kevin Minner, which, I mean, he had a fantastic year, but you get Lamine Barrow back, who really quietly had a great year. He had a 100-some tackle season.
Yeah,
Debo Jones, you just got all those other guys.
Debo Jones.
They were young this year. They all played.
Josh Jones.
So who's your defensive leader?
Yeah, well, you just have the best linebacker.
Debo Jones, Lamaine Barrow.
Our deal is who's going to
Craig Lawston.
That
Craig Lawston.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Lawston
and to have
and
a
Barrow
safety
probably.
Doing that is the key, really. I mean, because even when we had Jack Hunt down there, at least he controlled where they were going.
Yeah.
You know, that's a key. You can
and there
see
was
the
at least one game this year where I noticed Lawston kind of shifting guys like, no. Over here.
So now he is the guy, and he knows he's the guy.
It could be. It could be. I would have thought Eric Reed was that last year, and I don't.
Eric Reed more than Eric Reed.
He didn't quite step up that way. Barrow, I imagine, I'm guessing, probably moves inside and takes middle linebacker. He's certainly your most experienced guy, but you got plenty of guys coming in. And Kendall Beckwith, if he plays linebacker, maybe that's where he gets in on early. You know, the one thing's for sure is you have another year where you have a lot of young guys playing.
Right.
Because there's a lot of young guys coming in who are good enough to play early.
We reload.
And then, you know, you have both. Yeah, the Jalen's coming back at corner. And, you know, they gave up a lot of yards at the end of the year, but I almost wonder if it was maybe they played so far over their head for the first half where they were – You face a team like Washington that did throw the ball really well, and you shut them down, basically. You know, maybe you hit that wall, and kind of tired out.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were tired. I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, and depth there is good. You redshirted two guys there who were both more highly sought after than Jalen Mills and didn't play. So, you know, there's talent there. I'm not too worried about the secondary, and I'm not too worried about linebacker. Defensive line, it's guys are going to have to prove themselves. A lot of guys that haven't played yet are going to have to prove themselves.
Well, we'll see. We'll just have to learn a whole bunch of new names this year.
That's all
we'll have to get our one guy.
Whatever.
You know, and we'll figure it out.
I got a topic I want to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Are we going to take down the fans of punters page?
Oh, the fans of Brad Wing plays?
Brad Wing, we can take that down.
We're taking that down. He disappointed.
Punter swag is gone.
Yeah, we no longer.
That's a funny thing. Brad Wing, when you look at it, I think he was still in the top 10 in the country in net punting. But he was coming off of probably the best year any punter has ever had.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it looked not quite as good. And he had a shank every now and then. But
he started off bad.
We're going to have some inconsistency.
He started off poorly.
He was out because he got busted.
Well, I saw the week before the game.
He was on a freaking levee in Lutcher
taking pictures. So, I mean, he was
smoking blunts.
Yeah, he was doing
blunts.
But to be fair, you're a star football player and you're Australian in college at LSU.
Yeah.
That's fishing with dynamite.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've never seen that
in the next guy, an Australian punter.
How the LSU players seem to think.
The next great Australian player. He punted his ass off in that game, man.
Alabama's.
He's like the one bright spot of that game.
Alabama's cops go to Saban first. LSU's cops just arrest first.
Yeah.
Yeah. We said it.
You said it. I didn't say it.
All right.
We said it. You're right.
Now.
Let's get to some nitty gritty topics.
I want to yell. I want to yell at Marvin. I want to yell at you.
I'm taking a quick.
Yell at me, dude.
I don't know. I just want you to say something so I get pissed off at you. Everybody's been kind of monotone so far today.
I'm trying to be professional.
You know? Well, that's what be professional is yelling.
You want to come up with a topic that we can.
Do you want me to?
We're talking about all these files. The reason why we're talking about all these guys replacing this person and that person is because all the defections we had from this team.
Well, you know, it's
10 guys. I mean,
well, when have you ever had 10 juniors that could leave still get drafted this
JJ time? Made the comment that they're all leaving because they don't want to play for Les Miles. Well, I want to bring that up because I don't think that's true. If you look across the entire nation of college football, there's more juniors coming out than ever before, and it's because of the new contract rules in the NFL. They're trying to get in earlier and get that first year over with so that they can get their big contract while they're still young.
It's that, and if you're say a third or a fourth round pick, the difference between that and a second round pick, whereas a couple of years ago it was millions of dollars, now it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's still a lot of money, and I would still very much like to have it. But is it worth the risk to your body?
Right.
Does Matt Barkley is Matt Barkley glad he came back? I don't know.
Well, the fact that this year's draft class, the fact that just this year's draft class is so weak. Is a good reason for anybody to come out.
There's a record number of juniors, period. And you know, I looked at past teams. When has LSU ever had this many juniors who played enough to have this much film? You know, these are not guys who just had one great year. These are guys that have been starting for 2 and 3 years now that could come out and play early. Even in the 06 team, which had all those first-round picks, the only junior off that team that could have come out and went really high was Glenn Dorsey. Everybody else, you know, Matt Flynn hadn't played yet. Craig Steltz hadn't played yet. Chevis Jackson had been a starter for 1 year, basically. You know, it was all guys who really still hadn't proved themselves, whereas this team had a lot of junior talent that had kind of proven themselves.
Since,
you know, Chris Falk, they're saying, is still a second-round pick, even with a busted knee. Can you blame him for not wanting to come back?
See, I heard different things on Chris. I heard he might not get drafted at all. So the defensive side of the ball, I kind of understand. I can see that, but it's the offensive things it's the offensive guys leaving that concern me. I mean, Michael Ford, he might have touched the ball 25 times this year. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit. I'm sure he's touched the ball more than 25 times.
But how closely do we look at the film and see where he's blocking downfield, where he's doing things that. He may not touch the ball, but he's doing things that the pros want to see.
Trust me, I don't think Michael Ford was doing that.
No, Ford.
No. I'm just saying. When was the last time we had a potent offense? But you see LSU receivers going to the pros all the time and getting jobs. Second and third round picks.
Dwayne Bowen and Craig Davis were the last two.
Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, LaFell was a hot pick.
That's right. LaFell was in that mix. That was the last guy.
Reuben Randle didn't do anything this year?
Reuben Randle has issues.
Hmm?
Does he?
Reuben Randle did. He came on late for
But he spent the first half of the year with New York.
Yeah, but New York was
squabbling and people telling him you need to work harder.
Well, you think the thing with the running backs is they all saw what happened to Stephen Ridley. I mean, Stephen Ridley went, what, late third round?
Right.
You know? And people didn't think he would even go that high.
I don't know.
People said he would go very low.
I came in all hot and heavy about that, and y'all kind of just took it away from me, man. Y'all kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit. I don't know. I still want to yell at Joe. I just want to yell at Joe about
something. Well, it's not.
I want to yell.
Don't get me wrong. It still stinks for the team.
Oh, yeah.
No two ways about that. But I understand why most of them made their decisions.
I mean, not to mention the fact, it's not like it's the first time somebody's left the team and we didn't think they should be going to the pros this early. That happens all the time. That happens two or three guys a year.
But this number of people, though.
Hey, like I said, you've never had this many guys who had the option.
Tom Lemming.
All right, how many people wish Les Miles would have taken a pro job?
That's a good one.
Who would we get? Chris Peterson?
I said at Rose Bowl night.
No one's getting Chris Peterson. He's not leaving Boise State.
You don't think?
No, he would have left by now.
You don't think for a big old fat contract of five or six
million
dollars?
Here is let's.
That's
what I'm saying. If we want to talk about Les Miles, if you want to start talking about taboo, let's start talking about the Sunshine Pumpers versus the Tigers. And it all comes down.
I like that.
It all comes down to Les Miles. You either love him or you hate him. I've never met anybody that's in between. And
I am sort of. I'm in between.
I go back and forth.
I fluctuate.
I'll tell you what I love about. I'll tell you what I love about him and what I hate about him. I don't care. No, I'm joking.
I'll tell you what I love about.
This is what Joe loves about.
What he loves. What I love about him is he can recruit his ass off.
Or is it the program that's recruiting his ass off?
All of a sudden, it can recruit itself.
I'm not saying Saban's so sweet a program. Can somebody say something negative without some jackass bringing up Saban?
Well,
nobody can say anything without some fucking asshole bringing up Saban.
Well, here's the thing. Before Saban, the program couldn't recruit itself before Saban.
We didn't, yeah.
No. You win. You start winning, it recruits itself. How many people have probably stood on the sidelines of Tiger Stadium and listened to the band and listened to the crowd go ape shit on a Saturday night and go, you know what? I think I might want to come here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying this year.
Well, he hasn't.
Even if he came to the Alabama game that
okay.
we lost this year.
Well, in that case, he wins every year.
Okay, but we also say what did we say? Shit, I forgot it. I had so many things in my head about the offense, that we have a top 10 recruiting class in offense and defense every year, but we can't produce on the field on offense. So, is it recruiting?
Yeah.
And no, there's coaching.
There's something going on in player development that it's not sitting well with me.
It's player
right
development
now.
And game time decision making. Those are the two things that I think Les Miles lacks in.
I think he hires guys.
But
on
I love
the offensive side of the ball. See, he went away from it with defense. He did it with Pavito and the other guy with the co-defensive coordinators, and he got ripped for that year, and he went and he made the move that he needed to make.
And he let that guy run a defense.
But so he got rid of Croton, and we had a chance to get some young, up-and-coming offensive coordinators. I mean, I'm talking about some good guys. It was
and
some
that's
good
the
names
You need
there.
Somebody young that's yes. up and
but
tune
think,
and
I
willing
think
to
I think Craig would have been fine.
Yeah, well, that we all think he would have. Too, but
and it's just not. It's not Les Miles' fault. The dude got Parkinson's disease.
Well, no, but it is Les Miles' fault that he didn't make a change.
I think there's too many. There's too many people that have a say in what they want to do on offense. Because you got Cragthorpe, you got Stadauer, who I
and
think
you got Les Miles. And Les Miles definitely has his own
offensive line. And you got Les Miles' philosophy. There's nothing wrong with the boring old. You know, people bitch and complain about it's boring, the Big Ten offense. We look like the 1980s offense. I have no problem
with
that.
That's what Saban runs.
2011, the first eight games of the year, up until the Alabama game, I had no problems with the way we ran our offense. No problems whatsoever. We looked good. We looked crisp. We looked like we knew what we wanted to do. We were doing things to set up other things. We went away from – after –
But now we're splotching.
After freaking – What's his name?
Jefferson.
The Jersey pole guy. Lee.
We already forgot about that, too.
After he threw two interceptions against one of the top two defenses in the nation, we want to change the whole thing we want to do all year. And that's where the shit started. And I was quiet last year. I didn't want to say anything. But the fact that he did not start against Western Kentucky was a freaking travesty. It was the way Les Miles handled that whole shit last year with him and Jordan Jefferson was terrible.
Putting him in the last possession of the game to take
to
a
not
knee.
Stick with the two quarterback system the way, because it was working. When Jordan Jefferson came off of suspension, the way they were doing things, it was working. And all of a sudden, Jared Lee has one bad game against a very good team, and he doesn't play the rest of the season.
Best defense in the country.
Second best. We were pretty good, too.
Yeah, behind. You know? But, I mean, what I'm
they
saying
ended up being the best because they shut us out 21-0 in the national championship game.
You had two defenses on that field that night that will never be duplicated in a long time in college
that
football.
That never sat well with me. And everybody, I'm sure a lot of people feel this way. Everybody, you kind of kept quiet because, okay, we were still winning football games. But, you know, and even
winning shuts up a lot.
And I remember the article Poser wrote midway through the season after Jordan Jefferson came back from suspension, and it was titled "Winning Because of the Quarterback Situation," because the way they were meshing those two guys together, the way Lee was throwing the play action passes, the way Jordan Jefferson would come in and run a little bit of not really spread, but a little bit of, you know, the speed option stuff, and so it was working.
You know, six yards every time we ran.
And then. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it all ties into the way we kind of saw this offense run this year. I mean, a different situation, but once again, you're back to the 2009, 2010 offense that could not build upon what they were doing right. And we talked about it earlier about how things were working, but at some point, you got to a point to where, okay, let's just forget about all that. Let's not run Jeremy Hill at all in the fourth quarter against Clemson when he was killing him, even though it was against a 9-man box. You know, that's the kind of things that just boggle my mind sometimes. What are they thinking? Are there too many guys trying to talk and somebody has to be the decision maker, and I don't know, because you got basically you have three offensive coordinators on that team right now. Yeah,
well,
Greg Dorpe was hired to be offensive coordinator.
Who's really the decision maker?
Yeah, I mean, so
they never tell you who the hell. You can ask him a direct question.
It doesn't appear that we're going to be losing anybody coaching wise on offense.
So
we're stuck with the same guys again next year.
So my question is on this, is that, like we talked about earlier, we can't produce a top 50 offense?
All we can do is get in the top half of the NCAA.
Yeah, that's all I really want.
What I don't understand is the
thing that gets me.
Look at Les Miles' first 4 years. Offensively, we weren't bad.
We weren't bad, but
first three years, right?
Was he the Mad Hatter? And
Jamarcus
and Matt in 07.
Well, that was four. That's his fourth.
Oh eight was a terrible defense.
The offense gets, I think, brushed over. Even but it really wasn't
because we were seven. It was 7-5. Yeah, the offense was all right. No, in 07
we
couldn't throw the ball worth a lick. We ran the ball like crazy. And then, of course, we remember 09 and 10. 09 was
Well, if you
bad.
Take away, I mean, generally threw all those picks, that didn't help the offense.
But that was, that's right, because, that's right, that was 08. That was the pick year.
Yeah.
And then after that,
we actually gained a lot of yards that year. That was the thing. Jared Lee would get us downfield and then throw a pick, you know?
So it's, I don't know, it's just.
But what I'm saying.
The 08 offense was good at trashing the cupcakes on that schedule.
You're right.
And then when it got against good teams, it really, really struggled.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be an interesting year. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to be an interesting year.
You've got a really hard schedule.
This is what
Les Miles has going for him this year. Expectations are going to be so freaking low.
Well, no. I disagree. If he gets that raise, and this is what I was going to bring it up. We kind of
did. That's right. I went off about that raise New Year's Eve night. Yeah.
But wait a minute. Not yet. But one thing I wanted to bring up is we all can agree we're a top 10, probably top 5 program in the nation. Would you disagree with that?
Say top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10 easily.
Oh yeah, we're easily a top 10.
Okay.
We're still a top 5 program.
We're still picked
and we're
top four to win a national championship.
Splitting hairs whether you're top 10 or top 5. Right?
Okay, 2000. Yeah,
we're in a good place, and he has helped us get there. So, do you think that he deserves that raise? But if he does, is it the raise for winning 10 in a season, or would it say that he can't win the big one? Because what's his record in the last four or five bowl games?
1-3. He's 1-3 in the last four bowl games.
Okay, it's. I think our talent in our recruiting class gets us the 9 to 10 wins. but it's when we go up against the top programs of the nation. This past year,
when
Florida,
he's got to compete against
Alabama,
the coaches,
Clemson.
Yeah,
you know,
some of the in-game decision making. I mean, the Clemson game a wash. I mean, you look back at that. There's a lot of once you saw the guys that left, you know where their motivation was for that game, and you can't really.
Well, then that's coaching.
Huh?
I mean, and that's
it's hard to guys.
Typically, in a big game, Les Miles will get his guys up.
Yeah, I mean,
Les Miles to get his guys up.
Well, the last two he hasn't. I mean, the last two games.
Alabama. We were supposed to get our ass kicked.
They weren't up for Alabama. We just didn't have a good game plan.
What? I don't think they were as up for that.
We weren't supposed to win that
game.
They won this past year.
Yes.
Oh no! Nobody expected us to win that game.
I mean, we should have won it. It was the last drive of the game that cost us the game.
There's no excuse for that.
No,
and it's still on coach. It's still on the coaching and the players. I'm one that believes motivation.
You get paid $5 million a year. You're supposed to be able to motivate.
There was. That's where I was trying to get.
Absolutely. I don't think you can also, if you're having a real discussion about it, divorce that from
hell. I get paid $30,000 a year, and I'm supposed to motivate my produce managers.
I mean, as a
$30,000 a year in your first 2 weeks.
I mean, straight. I mean, going to economics. I mean, we're paying top dollar for top production and top.
Let me ask you: if Les Miles gave cut his salary down to $1 million, would you be okay with less wins?
P90X, yes. Really? I would be okay. I would be okay with what we are right now. As I mean, it's kind of like Reggie Bush. Think about Reggie Bush. As a Saints fan, and the Saints had to take him with the number two pick. We had no other choice. We had to take Reggie Bush when Mario Williams was already off the table. He came in with top two a salary, you know, as the second player in the draft. He never produced. He never came in.
Not that he never
and
produced.
Did. No, he
did. His expectations were so damn high.
No. It's not so damn high with the number two pick in the draft. That's, I mean, you got to live up to it. I mean, if you come in,
I don't think the situations are totally comparable. Though.
Well,
where's Les Miles' salary compare to the top 10 salaries in the country?
He's in the top three.
He's probably the top two.
I think he's fifth.
He's fifth now.
Well, if he gets this raise, where did he go?
No, I think that gets in the fifth.
Okay,
he gets in the fifth. So is he a top? Are we a top five program?
Call it Notre Dame got his raise.
Are we a top five program with Les Miles
in bowls? No,
no.
A lot of money, yeah.
As a program, are we a top five program?
For Rents, that's right.
Nobody gets paid more than the coach for Rents.
For Rents, who's been there forever, that's
for Rents who they can't afford. If they fired him today, they'd owe him $21 million.
It's sad.
Wow,
that's sad.
That's with the extension that Miles got. Was there an increase in the buyout thing too with him?
I'm not sure.
There was never any figure released from the last.
The contract should be released around the end of the month sometime, because that's when they'll approve. The Board of Supervisors will approve
it.
Okay.
Well, what I said, they haven't approved it. Hell. What's everybody? Oh, well, we got a tight end, by the way, Deshaun Smith.
Yeah,
we talked about him earlier.
Yeah, I was talking about earlier.
Hey, Pat, welcome to the conversation.
No, they approve it.
I'm just
there. There's going to be some fool of supervisors who complains about how much money they're spending on coaches as opposed to education.
Nobody can hear you, dude.
Yeah. Which is all a bunch of crap, because we all know a lot of that money comes from the TAF anyway. So
it all comes from sponsors and TAF.
The portion of his salary that's paid by the state is like
$300,000.
Damn right we do.
Now Marvin's paying for him this year too,
which is not very much of his actual salary.
Yeah, tell him the price of that ticket.
You know, but I mean, I don't think it's. I mean, we always had high expectations. The expectations, you know, with Alabama not expect if Alabama wasn't paying Nick Saban $5 million a year, would they still expect him to win national championship every year? Yeah, they expected that of every coach before him. Mm-hmm. You know, the money to me is it just comes with being part of the program. You know, if you're a top 10 program, you pay your coach top 10.
Let's look at it.
Top 10
didn't they have
salary.
The report that came out, the most valuable college football programs, and we were what, number
there
three,
were,
four?
Half the top 10 was SEC team.
Yeah, but I'm saying is
us,
we were
Alabama,
like number three, weren't
Georgia.
We?
Georgia.
It was pretty high up there.
It was very
it was Notre Dame.
Might have been fourth.
Yeah, it was something like that. But it was Notre Dame was one. I mean, you had
– I think it was Texas.
Alabama was behind us. Texas was two. And we were three or four.
Yeah, we were
Alabama was six. I remember that. You know, but think about it. I mean, you're talking about a college football. I mean, we're self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in itself nowadays is a big thing.
There is one thing that people don't know about the LSU athletic department. They're servicing about nine figures worth of debt. But
inside information.
It's public record. You can look up. You can go read about people's. If you feel like,
I think a lot of people's anger. It just comes from. I mean, it's naturally. It just comes from just being bitter, watching Alabama hoisting fucking footballs up every freaking year.
I disagree.
I mean,
anger stems from jealousy and envy.
A lot of it's angst. That's kind of it stems from
who they're doing, who they're hosting.
Part of it. That's part of my problem right now. I mean, last year you saw all this going on, and we had a season for the ages, and we couldn't finish it off. And then this year we looked like poo most of the season.
Poo.
We got up for one game against Alabama, and then bad coaching decisions ruined that for us.
Two games. We played well against
Alabama. A lot of people don't realize that some of the games that we should have killed. We kept them in the game for three quarters.
I mean, in the fact, a play or two here and there, and you're talking about. I mean, we're not that far. I mean, there's not that big of a gap.
You know, but what's scary is there's not that big of a gap between us and a lot of SEC teams right now.
And that's
because,
what scares me. And that's
because
what scares
you
me.
Got Alabama, you got A&M who's coming
this
on.
This is
strong.
What scares me.
You've
the,
got
the talent
team,
is the
Georgia.
Talent's
going to
be pretty
there
much
now.
There all over the place now. So what's going to put you over the edge?
You have to get that extra little thing.
But I'd remind
there's
everybody.
There's five teams in the SEC that can compete.
4 years
now.
Ago, after 2008, everybody were saying these same things.
Right.
The teams were different, but we were talking about Georgia and Florida and Bama. And all that. Now we just we've replaced Georgia with
A&M. Now you got Georgia, Florida, Bama,
Texas A&M.
And
us.
Yep.
The way I look at it.
No one's really talking about Georgia as much, but partly because they're in the East. And people were talking about Tennessee at the time. And all. Yeah. It's the SEC is always going to be hard. You can't – to me, what Bama's doing right now, I don't think you can compare to that.
But I'm not just saying the SEC. I'm saying all across the board now.
And I'm with you there.
Here's the thing. TCU, our first game,
no
you think it's going
to
be a wash?
But how many continue to struggle like that?
But
that
how many,
much,
how many teams in the SEC
–
besides Nick Saban and Alabama, how many teams in the SEC have been as consistent as LSU for the last 10 years?
Georgia. Florida.
Georgia?
Georgia's had some bad years.
I mean, we've had.
Hard Rick was on the hot seat.
Well, he was on
a
hot seat.
He's been on the hot seat for 2-3 years, and now all of a sudden now he's going to be good for two.
But that was like 2 years. And then, I mean, you said the last 10 years. You didn't say the last five. You said the whole 10 years.
We had one bad year since Les Miles has been here where we've lost We've lost what? We won an eight game?
We were 8-5 that year, yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Saban was an 8. Didn't Saban go 8-5?
Maybe well, that was.
He was building a program.
His last year, he didn't have such a great year.
8-5 in his.
Yeah,
his final
his
season.
His third year. That's right.
My first year in sports writing.
I mean,
but his final season before he left to go to the.
That's right.
They lost three his final season.
Right. Yeah.
And they were, and it was a miserable year. They had a lot of bad games.
National championship year, you're right. We were 8-4. It was 8-4 regular season.
And
he
lost
it
at freaking Iowa in a freaking bowl.
We lost to Texas and Cotton Bowl.
That was the year you played, like, close games with Troy and Vanderbilt that you won, like. You know, you won them 24-7, and you said, but it was you scored a touchdown.
And the fact that LSU has one of the toughest schedules in the SEC every single year playing Alabama and Florida.
Thanks, Florida. Everybody's going to have a tough schedule in
the SEC. You go there. Yeah, we get – oh, God, we get holes. And look what Alabama played this year and what they're playing next year. Look what we got to do.
Yep.
We got to go to Athens.
Tuscaloosa and Athens.
And we got to play Florida.
How about the thing is, though,
I don't
got to
play Florida
Alabama
every single year.
I never
do.
No, that's a game that
and
we
have
you
to
know
play
you
Florida
know,
every
yeah,
single
yeah,
year.
Yeah. But to go to Athens and to freaking play Florida at home and to do that shit when Alabama's just got who's Alabama's Eastern opponent?
Tennessee, Kentucky.
Exactly.
They play Tennessee, Kentucky.
That's what I'm talking about.
And the world will shift off its axis if they don't play Tennessee.
Right.
That's why we have to play Florida. Is because them.
That's
because them. Tennessee, Auburn, and Georgia. Threw a hissy fit and say we have to be able to play each other every year. So we wind up with Auburn, who's in the Eastern time zone in the Western Division, so that they and Alabama can't be split up. And then we have the permanent opponent so that Auburn can play Georgia every year and so Alabama can play Tennessee every year. Because God forbid
make sure that Vanderbilt plays, you know, Joe Blow.
And part of the reason why LSU hasn't been able to get a constituency to try and make change is because the states and the Ole Misses of the world like it because they get to play
the cupcake. Cupcake.
And Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So they don't want to change it.
And my point is
they got to get Florida on their side. That's with, the biggest.
They had Florida on their side. Yeah. Florida backed out when public sentiment went the other way.
And my point is, with all of that,
help this any.
With all of that, we're still winning 10 games a year. You know what I'm saying? It's not an easy task.
Well, no. I'm not taking anything away from the 10 wins. The 10 wins, I will take 10 wins.
But we've got to get to the next level.
But it's the next oomph. It's just like, I mean, I know, okay, it's not the same thing.
We need more.
They pay A-Rod. New York pays A-Rod $100-something million. The man, Yeah, I mean, the man crushes 50 home runs during the regular season. In the playoffs, he's non-existent. They beat the ever-loving shit out of him in the press because he doesn't show up when they need him to.
Well, we lost the last two bowl games.
We lost the last two, but three out of four. That's the one thing that kind of.
But you'd gone four. But
before,
you'd won four
but before
in
that,
a row.
We won four in a row.
That's right.
And a national championship.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
And we've been to two.
We're a what have you done for me lately
type. We're in a what have you done for me lately.
Besides Alabama, what SEC team has been, well, Florida.
Florida
with Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Although they didn't show up.
And that was that. They didn't want to be there either.
And see, it was the same thing that I thought again. It's not so much that they didn't show up, but you know there's that difference between showing up where you're enthusiastic and you're throwing yourself around and you're happy to be there, but you're not really
focused.
Like they were trying. Matt Elam was throwing his body around that Superdome to the point where I'm kind of hoping the Saints will pick him. But
they were getting.
But they weren't they quite dialed
fans,
in. They weren't dialed in up here.
That was bad. They weren't insane.
It's
and
like
Louisville was
playing for themselves.
Louisville was ready to play the perfect game.
That's Louisville's national championship.
They would have played. They would have beaten a lot of teams that night.
Not to mention Charlie Strong used to coach that factor. So you know that's. You know,
well, they're playing as individuals too at this point because they know they're leaving. You know, they're just playing for the draft status.
To me, I think it speaks volumes the fact that sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes we look like we don't progress. Looks like we don't build upon and go forward. And like Kerry said a couple of times, we'll do something so well and then just completely just change it and go backwards. And that's, I think we've done that for the past couple of years because if you remember all our go shows, we've always talked about that. Kerry brought it up, JJ brought it up numerous times. It's the fact that we don't get better throughout the year. We actually go back a little bit. And when we need to the most in the big games, even though it's not quote-unquote the title game or the big game, it's still a big game. It's still a bowl game. Mm. You know, we haven't been doing that, you know, before.
We should schedule Alabama in September.
Alabama got up for it. I mean, come on. People can throw out excuses all you want.
No, you're right. But
I mean, you can say, we got injuries. We got this. We got that. Well, guess what? Everybody else has injuries.
Alabama hasn't had a major injury in like 3 years. It's so lucky.
Well, you know, I'm sure they had dinged up. I mean, they said the guy that was the senior that was the center. He played on no ACL. That dude shot up so much. I don't even want to know what the hell he shot up. That dude had some serious drugs in his system.
Win at all costs.
Basically looked at his quarterback and shoved him. That was great. But
pretty much.
I don't want to go back. I don't want to keep going back to that team because, God, I don't even want to talk about him. But it's everybody has injuries. Everybody has excuses. It's what you're going to do. Next.
Well, I think you can look to some, you know, the passing game definitely progressed throughout the year. They got better, not necessarily with every game, but by the end of the stretch they were playing, but your running game got worse. 2011, your passing game got worse, but your running game was much better at the end of the year.
Very true. It's like to bring it all together.
Very true.
Exactly. And
look, we're ranked
number 100%
right
now, to say,
according to Lemming.
Ranked number 7.
You can put us ahead of USC.
How are people still going to play for USC?
That's a good question. Money.
You don't see up there. You don't see
money.
Oregon.
That's a good one.
You don't see those guys up there this year. No.
Is that?
Yeah, because Chip Kelly's gone. They probably had so many decommitments. Chip Kelly left.
They never have top classes. But they recruit to their system. They recruit specific players.
It's a call up there. I mean, they're going to promote their next offensive coordinator.
They were talking about that the other day. Yeah. I heard that conversation about how the people at Oregon have been at Oregon forever.
They haven't hired a head coach.
Only Kelly's been outside.
Their running backs coach has been there like 30 years.
It's a cult.
running backs coach.
Can we get somebody like an LSU alum to come in and, like, you know, like a former player that can come in and do coaching? Do we have, like, no LSU players that want to coach?
We got the guy in the secondary, coach Corey Raymond.
Ryan Clark, I bet, coaches at LSU one day when he's done
playing. Ryan Clark. Deuce. He's stud.
He's talked about wanting to do that.
Good. I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Clark comes.
Take care of his kid. He got like 10 of them.
Adam,
he had four. He had four before he enrolled at LSU.
Right.
He did, man.
He did. Four before he had LSU.
I love Kevin Falk, though.
Yeah, Kevin Falk's awesome.
Sweet.
Nice.
You know, we went. It's so funny. You talk about having the LSU alum coach. Local Sports Talk Radio. Dude, I want to throw my fist through my windshield sometimes. I'm listening to 870 AM.
That's a shocker. Well, that's your problem.
And so, you're listening to them?
If you're listening to Deep,
that's the problem. Right.
So this guy calls in. He's like, you know what LSU's problem is? They get all these local players, and he ain't got a local coach. And I'm like, Jerry Stovall went like 7-25.
Oh, you heard that one too.
I'm like, are you serious?
We did
the local coach thing. You know, it didn't work, you know.
And then Deke went off on him. So are you kidding me?
Oh, my. It was so bad.
John Curtis.
So bad.
Dear God. Yeah, he could pay. He could pay people for the best of them.
Baton Rouge Radio. This is like one of the greatest lines I've ever heard any local sports talk guy say. Some guy.
To me, it wasn't Jimmy Ott. Oh.
No, it was actually Panamsky. Panamsky makes me laugh sometimes. Oh, yeah, he's a goofy looking bastard, kind of like Podcat. But.
Where's Podcat today?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Top of the program. I'm listening, and they're talking about. This is right after the Clemson game and everything, and they're talking about Mettenberger's lack of, you know, production through the year. I mean, this lack of maturity or whatever, what have you, even though he kind of did. But
porn stash.
Clemson made me look bad. Yeah. And this guy's like, this guy calls him, you can tell, the guy's like in his 60s or 70s, and he's like, yeah, back when that high school, when I played quarterback, I was able to sling the ball over the place. And Panamski goes, you and Uncle Rico go throw it over the mountain?
Nice.
I was dying.
The best line I ever had at Baton Rouge Radio was Jimmy Ott saying when Saban left that he screwed us over because we couldn't hire Ed Ogeron to replace him because he had just gotten the Ole Miss job.
Oh, boy.
And I remember just laughing. Where's Chase? Laughing and laughing.
Yon, yon, yon.
Yon, yon, yon.
He actually made the comparison between Ed Ogeron and Nick Saban.
Nice.
That's Jimmy Ott. That's why he flies around from radio
Ed Ogeron
radio
was going
station.
To build a monster at Ole Miss.
I can't stand listening to Jimmy Ott.
Oh, no.
I was trying to figure out, like, I listened to that show.
I almost strangled him one.
When he had his own show, it was even worse.
I listen to that show every day, and the other guys do have other stuff. Like, I mean, Anna Griff's a sports editor, and he does all the stuff for the network and everything. Panamsky runs the website. What did Jimmy Ott do besides host that show for 2 hours and just eat lunch? Huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah, he talks about those lines all the time. Yeah, he's good at that stuff. Is that what he does? Okay. All right. And he plays tennis a lot. That's all he ever talks about. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And Buddy Solange, he plays at Greystone. Okay.
Buddy Solange's still alive.
He doesn't still have a show, does he?
Yeah, he does. He's on one of those
obscure ones, yeah. The old 12-10.
When they got rid of 12-10
or something.
So we get enough yelling? All right. So early season predictions for next year. Tough schedule.
Dear God.
Tough schedule. I even know the schedule.
Dear God. 10-2. We start off with TCU.
Where we do TCU? TCU. I mean, TCU is a winnable game. TCU,
we're gone.
TCU
is home crowd for TCU.
We're going. No, we're going.
Did y'all go for the Oregon game last year or 2 years?
I did.
Yeah.
Chase,
it was
man.
Fun.
We're hitting TCU.
Yeah. It is worth going and see that stadium.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
However crazy opulent you think it is worse.
We're making that trip.
All right.
It's like walking out a 5-star hotel.
Are we opening with TCU?
I predict a win against TCU.
I think we win that game. Yeah, UAB, Kent State, TCU. Okay, 3-0.
Okay.
It's going to be an ugly win against TCU.
Auburn at home. I think that's a win.
I think that's a win.
Georgia on the road.
That's a 50-50 shot. Depends how Mettenberger coming along with his receiver.
They're going to
say we lose that game.
They're going to be rebuilding on defense, and they may lose their coordinator. Chip Kelly may take them to Philly. So that could possibly.
I think we need to wait till
Georgia, I think, is next year's team that's going to be really high rated and won't necessarily stink. But we'll lose 3-4 games,
We've
and everybody will call
before.
So I think that's before. A 50-50 shot as of right now.
The October stretch, once again, it's always
it's
the toughest
be a
stretch. You
hell.
Got, so you add Georgia, you add Mississippi State. You know, I don't know, Mississippi State is whatever, you know. Florida at home.
We always
beat
Mississippi
State. I
think
we can beat Florida at home this year.
Ole Miss at Oxford.
I think we got it.
Florida loses a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we swapped it in A&M, basically.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is the November slate, because you've got bye week, Alabama
bye week.
Yeah.
Texas A&M.
Yep.
Yeah, and we got A&M and Arkansas at home to close the season. I mean, this five potential losses on there, but you can say that just about every season.
But it's also five potential wins.
But how many of those losses are against non-conference, non-SEC teams?
No, we're not losing to non.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like
we win three out of those five.
Out of each other every year.
And go 10-2. Just like I said.
The game's going to come down to Alabama again. It's going to come down to Alabama again.
No, you get a lot of question marks. You got defensive line's a question mark.
Wide receiver.
I want to see what we can do on offense. I want to see what kind of progression
we
make
on offense.
That, and if it's the same old stale offense, no production, defense having to win games for the earliest. Defense having to win games for us early in the season, you're going to see the defense fade like they did last year, like they did in 2011, kind of towards the end. Then the defense really faded.
If you see that, it's going to be a long year because the offense is probably going to need to.
Yes, the offense needs to. That's what I'm saying. That's kind of what I'm getting at. The offense needs to play. They need
while
to be.
Well,
together.
That's where our experience
they,
is.
They
right
need
now.
To be 07, 08 kind of caliber as far as being able to move.
I mean, that's
the ball.
Where our experience is. Bring them along.
Red zone scoring needs to improve.
That's the big thing. If we can just score in the red zone, we'll be dangerous.
Yeah.
This year, if we just scored in the red zone, we'd have at least one more win under our belt.
I think Mettenberger is going to be highly motivated for that Georgia game.
I think Mettenberger doesn't need to hang with Brad Wing.
He won't because he'll be in the NFL.
It's a good thing he's gone now. So
I don't think he has to worry about that.
So this is kind of like I'm looking at this season. I'm kind of thinking 2010.
I'm thinking Mettenberger, no porn stash to start the year this year. It'd be okay.
2010, I had extremely low expectations, and we went 11-2. So
the other guy from Penn State,
11-2.
Bolden.
So
right now, I predict
that'd be Les Miles' dream.
Yeah.
Alabama, Florida again.
Yeah, Gerard.
No,
and a combination of those, I think we'd beat Florida.
You don't need six quarterbacks.
Those five games. It's going to be two games we don't think. I think right now, I think Georgia's a loss.
Yeah, we added two quarterbacks. So
and right now, I think it could be the Alabama game, obviously, but I think it's either going to be that A&M or Arkansas game.
Okay.
I don't think Florida's going to beat us again. That was just
– Arkansas is going to struggle next year, too. They're going to be.
Yeah, I'm not
but they
I'm
always
not
play against us.
But again,
yeah, but
that game at home.
Last game of the year anymore, which is
– Okay, so
– Here we will.
Yeah, this year.
Oh, is it still
– Last year is still, last, it's still the last game this year. And it'll be a freaking Friday again.
And a Friday.
And when we play A&M last game of the year, that game's going to be on Thanksgiving night when we go there.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
That's if they have their Heisman win.
It's going to happen.
Thanks, league office.
Who won't have the staff?
It won't happen when they come to Baton Rouge. When we play at College Station, that will be a Thanksgiving night.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do something stupid, and he's going to get busted.
Or he's going to get
hurt. A lot of people think that's
going to happen. Or he's going to have that mentality.
I think we're all
going to get in trouble.
He ain't never going to hear his last name again in the game. It's going to be Johnny Football.
He's going to get hurt.
I think they're going to game plan for him this year so much better. It's going
to
be different.
He's going to adjust to him really, really well.
We did, because even in their game against Oklahoma, they said only defense to shut him down. Only defense.
Yep. Once we had all right. Well, LSU also had that set where they basically run a 3-4 with two cornerbacks, a linebacker, and
they just said, chase
him.
Go ahead,
so you have
got to do
fast guys chasing a fast guy instead of big defensive
linemen.
We
don't do well against a run quarterback.
So, all right, that's our prediction for next year. Anything else we want to talk about off the LSU slate?
I'm eight. Do we really? I don't even talk
baseball
about
predictions.
Well, we want to talk about our fantasy girlfriends?
Leave my girlfriend alone.
Everybody, Tayo. Everybody, right Tayo for the podcast.
Tayo.
I'm Tayoing.
Even though we ain't got the webcam. We ain't got the webcam. So
Next year, we're going to have a Tayo.
What is this? What are they doing on TV right here? Johnny Manziel to Texas? Come on. I know they're not saying he's transferring. The what if?
He either plays safety. Exactly.
Yeah, he would have played quarterback. He's projected to win one more game.
Oh,
so we're bringing sabermetrics into college football now.
Does Mac Brown get in a hot seat this year if he doesn't win? Is he?
What do they call that? The war wins against wins.
All that matters is if he's on Joe Gemayo's hot seat.
No, sure.
Because that's his best friend, and that's the guy who the field at their stadium is named after. He's got so much money.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Though, eventually you got to win.
Right, so what topic you want to go off off cuff?
I'm just saying. Is there anything else?
No, I mean we do. Who's the new recruiting guy we got writing for the site?
Chris Browner.
Did he replace Paul?
Chris Brown? Didn't he get in jail?
Okay.
Didn't he punch
me?
Y'all got
money? You know, hiring new guys? I mean, the fuck are y'all doing? I mean, we can't get some love here, but you know, y'all hire riders out the
office. You just wanted to do it.
You don't get paid?
You know you got to.
What's that?
You don't get paid?
I get paid in spirit. I feel fulfilled every time I host a show.
You do it for the love of LSU.
And you took that away from me on Saturday mornings, you son of a bitch.
Actually, pretty much JJ and him took it away on Saturday mornings.
Oh, well, you can thank JJ for that one. Yeah.
So if we banned JJ from doing it, would it be okay?
No, so we'll do. You want to do a show before the signing day or just wait till after signing day?
I'd wait till after signing day.
I might not be able to do a show until after signing day.
Podcast, okay. Busy man.
He's got to work. He's busy growing his off-season throw out.
He's got to make them duckies.
It's tax time.
So I'm hungry. What's for supper? I'll probably
take. We told you, hot dogs and nachos.
Well, let's eat.
Let's wrap it up.
What are we doing tonight? We're going to shoot some pool, play some darts.
Yeah,
rollerboard, drink some beers.
Look at some girls, drink some beers, look at some girls.
Drinking beer, smoking blunt.
Smoking some synthetic weed.
Oh. What's that kid still doing on the elevator? Was it really? That's awesome. That kid is still in the elevator.
Remember when Jason Lee was funny?
Yeah, before he started doing chipmunk Jason movies.
Amy. No, my name is Earl, man.
No, man, Chasen Amy.
Before he named Chasen
Amy was great.
Inspector.
Yeah, Chasen Amy was great.
All right, so well, we made it through a whole show without really cursing.
Actually, this was a really good. It was a really good roundtable discussion. Good.
And who was missing?
McCary still didn't get to yell at me.
I tried to yell. I did it at a podcast just to get the yelling flavor in here. But I mean,
that is the ugliest hat I've ever seen in my life.
I ain't got the ugly hat on today. No, I can't.
It's not the ugly hat. I've seen you in the ugly hat. The ugly hat is the Toons' head with a backwards hat on the Toons' head.
That hat, the ugliest hat. You talking about my plaid hat?
Yeah, I'm talking about
I love my plaid hat.
I love the plaid hat too.
My plaid hat.
Come on, get pissed. Yell. Do something. Throw something.
You go join my wife. She hates it too.
Ugly ass.
She hates me too. So, I mean.
I think we're winding down in our old age. We're not getting feisty.
We're not drinking as
much. It's the atmosphere. The dark black curtain kind of just makes me mundane a little bit.
Me showing up didn't raise professionalism level a little bit.
I did that.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Professionalism got raised, but not the
band. I'll trade professionalism every once again for just. Flat out, just yelling back.
What did professionalism do for Manti Te'o?
I mean, look at yelling.
Nice. One show just let us go off podcast.
But look at how good yelling does. I mean, disclaimer. ESPN has First Take, and that's like basically all yelling back and forth, and that's scripted. We're not.
Let's do a disclaimer.
Basically, Stephen A. Smith yelling at Skip Bayless.
That's scripted. It's scripted. That's all it is.
You know, this guy does roids.
Tom Lemming.
The one on the right.
He looks like Al Copeland.
Yeah, a little bit. He does look like Al Copeland. I was thinking the same thing.
A lot of work done. A little bit.
Is that Secret or Roy?
A little bit of work. Definitely.
I saw Al Copeland in a Copeland's about 2 months before he died.
He get bit by a tiger.
Wearing leather pants and a snakeskin.
No, that was
got his slick Siegfried. Hair and a black.
Yeah. Looked like he's taking a bowl of Botox gel and just dipped his face in it.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this impromptu show.
Yeah, we appreciate
you. We hope we enlightened you.
Mid-January, just to keep your gander up.
Yeah, and we figured we throw in a show.
If you yelled at your computer,
we will talk some post what recruiting stuff after.
Yeah, we'll do a signing day if you know Pocket, the busy man that he is, can.
I say we go set up.
No, what we're gonna do is
at the River Center in Baton Rouge, set up our booth.
Yes,
and do a live show there. Yeah.
What we're going to do is
make up some fake credentials.
We've got it. We're going to go to Podcat's house next time.
This has been the Go Show, your original LSU podcast.
Thank you.
Goodbye.